Do not let your hearts be troubled or afraid. Dear brothers and sisters, the Holy Spirit is with you.
Searches for his living soul, searches places that he don't wanna go, looks for love and for hope. He finds a world that's abandoned them both. Yeah, yeah. All the lies tell us just who to be. But can't set you free. What we need is that love, the love that comforts from heaven above.
Hi, I'm Kathleen McCarthy, and you're listening to What the World Needs Now, empowered by the Holy Spirit, bringing the fire of God's love to the world. I invite you to join me in this hour of God's healing power. Call and join us in conversation and prayer. Remember, what the world needs now is God, and God is love. Well, praise God. Once again, we are together, and I am so grateful, as usual, for the beautiful gift of this ministry and the gift of each one of you in our lives. Because, as I say time and time again, what the world needs now or any other program from In His Sign would never go over the airwaves. So it's through your generous love, your self-sacrificing love, and your fidelity to our God and His church, and through that enabling us by your faithful financial support and prayers to stay on the airwaves. So we're most grateful. We have a guest today. As a matter of fact, I'm waiting for him to call in. And it's Mr. John Zalza. And he has written several books. Well, I know three of them that he wrote. One is Why Catholics Cannot Be Masons, and the other one is Masonry Unmasked. And today, in our culture, there's so much in our lives, so much darkness in the world, so much turmoil in the world today, not only economically and, so many different aspects, that whole healthcare situation that the government is trying to push through. We have to stand tall. We have to let our voices be heard, and we have to call our congressmen and senators in regards to that health care bill. But my brothers and sisters, the other aspect is spiritual warfare. We're in a battle, you can be sure. And because of this, the gates of hell will never, ever prevail against the Catholic Church. It's the only church instituted by Jesus Christ. And because of that, it's safeguarded by the Holy Spirit and the Word of God. And my brothers and sisters, this should be a very interesting program, because we certainly are in a battle spiritually, day in and day out of all of our lives, because those of us who are trying to run the good race and fight the good fight, those who are trying to die to ourselves daily to the best of our ability, stall and stumble though we will, our minds and our hearts are set on the Lord. And because of that, the scriptures tell us that we will be at perfect peace in the midst of all that turmoil. You know, the Lord, I've said through so many broadcasts, the Lord has truly been my light in darkness, and He has been my peace in the midst of turmoil, and He has certainly been my light in darkness. He is our all in all, and He is the answer to all of our problems. And because of all the darkness in the world, because of our culture that constantly has ears but do not, you know, ears but it does not hear, eyes it does not see, and it has no idea of the power of the living God at work in our world. And my brothers and sister, he who is in us is far greater than he who is in the world. You know, I know for a fact that, you know, I hear these Ouija boards now are being advertised time and time again. And as you know, you start dabbling in the culture of evil and in the occult, and your soul is in jeopardy. So I would forewarn all parents, grandparents, to be aware of that, that that is going out, that is taking place. So many of the stores now are marketing these Ouija boards to the young. And so have eyes to see, ears to hear, and, you know, make a voice. Call Toys R Us or anywhere else that's marketing these toys and ask them to take them off their shelves. But in the meantime, I just wanted to say that because we are all in the battle day in and day out trying to fight the good fight, not shadow box, but really fight the good fight, then we have an obligation to speak for the truth. We have an obligation to bring forth the truth and enlighten others. And this is one of those beautiful gifts that this ministry has. And that's why I have one of our guests on today. And as I said, John Salsa. He will be calling in, hopefully, very shortly. And I also want to read, as always, the readings today. And it is from Mark. The scripture is from Mark 6, 1 through 6. He went away from there, and he came to his own country, and his disciples followed him. And on the Sabbath he began to teach in a synagogue. And many who heard him were astonished, saying, "Where did this man get all this? What is the wisdom given to him? What mighty works are wrought by his hands? Is not this the carpenter, the son of Mary, and brother of James and Joseph and Judas and Simon? And are not his sisters here with us?" And they took offense at him. And Jesus said to them, "A prophet is not without honor except in his own country and among his own kin and even in his own house. And he could do no mighty works there, except that he had laid his hands upon a few sick people, and they were healed. And he marveled because of their unbelief. And he went about among the villages teaching." You know, those who are trying to run the good race, fight the good fight that I just spoke about, trying to bring, you know, the light of Christ into the darkness of the world, many are critical of people who have given their life to Christ. Many are, you know, criticized, especially those in many times in your, you know, your own parishes, your own households, your own neighborhoods. And, you know, sometimes those that are seeking the Lord above all else, those who are the Lord in life as well as death, pose apparently some kind of a problem. And to those who are trying to be a light in the darkness. And so, my brothers and sisters, do not lose heart. For he who is in us and working through us to his good pleasure will bring it to completion. And continue to evangelize, continue to run the good race, and continue to be a light in darkness. And we have John Salsa right now on the line. Welcome, John.
Hi there. How are you today?
Good. I'm blessed that you're able to be our guest today.
Well, thank you for having me.
I was just sharing that, you know, your books, one of them was Why Catholics Cannot Be Masons. Also, The Biblical Basis for Purgatory.
Yes.
And, of course, Masonry Unmasked. As I was going over your information, you actually were an insider. And I was wondering, we could talk on several of these issues. But in particular, for those who are listening today, again, you know, the scriptures today, a prophet is not without honor except in his own country or his own kin or own neighborhood. And I'm sure that when you wrote this book, Masonry Unmasked, you had a lot come against you being an insider. And as you began to reveal the truth and the secrets of the lodge, I'm sure you were persecuted in a lot of ways.
Oh, I was indeed. And so were those men who I let out of the lodge. So that's very common.
Yeah. Tell us, if you will, if you'd be so kind, what led you, what was at this time in your life, what did the Lord lay on your heart? Why did you write these books? Of course, to enlighten those that would have no other way of really knowing unless an insider themselves revealed it. But do you feel today, you know, you don't hear too much talk about the Masons anymore, and I think that's part of the slyness of the enemy, the deceitfulness, because he'd like you to think that there's no problem anymore with the Masons, when in fact the truth doesn't change.
Oh, that's right. The Lord simply convicted my heart of his truth, and not only to accept it, but to share it with others. And because so many men are deceived by the ideology of Freemasonry and suffer the consequences of that ideology, which is an indifferentism toward Christ, toward his church, I believe the Lord called me to reveal this to those. And I have obviously a credible position because I know what Masons teach. I taught
right.
it myself. I went through the lodge. I went through the rituals. That established a credibility with me then to communicate to those men who were inside the lodge, who knew me as a Mason, who knew and respected my knowledge of Freemasonry, to be able to hear that message. And so, you know, that's what I've dedicated a large part of my ministry to doing.
And I know, of course, you also did all the research in regards to Freemasonry, but you also became more involved with your Catholic faith. You also studied that deeper. And in that, I think also that I read at one part that you realized that a lot of our, you know, our Protestant brothers and sisters also had a real a problem with objections to Freemasonry. And what are some of those objections that you run into, John, time and time again? And what is your answer to those? Maybe there's someone listening today in our listening audience, and maybe they're on the verge of going to a meeting, or maybe they've heard about it, or maybe they've just been lulled to sleep to think, oh, that was in the past, and there's nothing wrong with that today. What would your answer be to that?
Well, first, for Catholics, the teaching of the Church is clear and definitive. Freemasonry has been condemned by the Church because it doesn't believe that Jesus Christ is God and the Savior of mankind. That's the bottom line. And the latest declaration from the Church, and we have a perennial body of teaching from the Church over the past 2.5 centuries, which is considered part of the Church's ordinary and universal magisterium, and hence binding on the faithful, infallible. In fact, in my book, Why Catholics Cannot Be Masons, I take the position that these teachings are infallible, and of course, Bishop Doran, who granted the imprimatur to the book, agreed with me. They're infallible because they're part of the Church's ongoing teaching tradition, based upon revelation, that there is only one truth, and those forces, those religions, those cults who oppose the truth of Jesus Christ are false and must be condemned. You know, what comes up often in these discussions is people focus on the good that Freemasonry does.
Right.
Yes, Masonry raises money for charitable organizations, they have good social programs, etc., etc., and the Church doesn't take issue with that. It's beyond the practice. It gets into the theology. The reason why the Church condemns this is what the Lodge teaches doctrinally inside the Lodge room. I mean, I think we all can admit that non-Catholic organizations, you know, do some good on a natural level in society.
Mm.
But what's more important, the natural or the supernatural? Okay, if we if we look at how we're going to save our souls, we first must in truth embrace the truth of God, of Christ, and of His church. So that's where the church draws the line. It addresses the teachings of Freemasonry, not the practices, not the good works, but the actual teachings. That's what the church has condemned.
And today, even though at one time you were informed when you went to your parish that it's sort of a harmless thing today in this day and age, and you went and you entered the Masons, and as you were in there for quite some time, is it also true, is it not, that you received one of the highest, I guess, a 32nd degree of Freemason in that Scottish Rite of Freemasonry, that you were also a member of the Shriners? And with all that, you certainly are an expert in Freemasonry. I mean, I don't know what the problem is with people realizing today, and that's why I think your book is so timely, that people need to know the truth, and nobody could tell it better than you can.
Yes, well, the Grand Lodge of Wisconsin credentialed me as an expert in Masonic ritual. I received what's called the proficiency card, which means I could perform all of the positions of the 3 degrees of Freemasonry from memory. You know, I had to memorize about 250 pages of ritual. You know, one might ask why I did that, and of course, you know, I have reasons why. I think it was a psychological defense mechanism almost, because when I went through those degrees, immediately I had spiritual misgivings, okay, but I fought an internal contradiction within myself. I knew, I guess, at the subconscious level that the things I was experiencing were contrary to my faith, but, you know, as I reflect back on it, I think I was trying to defend the position that I've already gone through this, I've been lulled into this by family and friends, and so I'm going to defend it by becoming an expert in it and justify it to myself. And God allowed that to happen for me to more clearly see how incompatible it was. And then when I finally received these credentials and really knew the rituals inside and out, you know, the Holy Spirit tapped me on the shoulder and said, enough is enough. And it was pretty amazing because, you know, by that miraculous infusion of grace, almost did a 180, and almost overnight realized, even though I was struggling with this, that illumination of grace convicted me that, yeah, I'm turning back now. I know why God led me through this. He led me through it to learn about it so that I could now bring myself and other men out.
For those that aren't too familiar with this, John, maybe you could tell us, like, some of their rituals. They talked about God, but they used apparently strange names when calling, or if you want to use the word prayer, at their altar. And isn't it true that everyone has to swear, or particularly as they go up in the in the line there, and as you were, definitely received that 32nd degree. Weren't there secret oaths that you had to make, and how did that you know, gel with your own Catholic faith? Were there references like to Jesus or the resurrection or eternal life or any of that?
Mm-hmm. Well, that's how men are deceived, because there are elements of truth in Freemasonry, just as there are elements of truth in other false religions, because the devil uses parts of the truth to deceive. So when Freemasonry mentions God, it mentions eternal life, and it mentions resurrection of the body, a Catholic would immediately think, yeah, you know, those are articles of faith. That's in the creed.
Right.
But it's not what Freemasonry necessarily says, although it is in some points, but it's what it doesn't say. That's the problem. If you're going to talk about God and eternal life and resurrection, you must then talk about Jesus Christ, who is the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes to the Father but through Him. He is the resurrection and the life. If you omit Christ from those teachings, which Freemasonry deliberately does, then you're communicating to the lodge that Christ isn't necessary, that He's only an option, but He's not necessary to have eternal life and to have resurrection, you see. And so that omission really is a statement of Masonic faith, that Christ isn't necessary, and that permeates the rituals, and that's why the church has condemned it. The church uses the word indifferentism, which means that all religions are deemed to be equally valid, equally profitable, all on the same footing. So if Masonry says, sure, we'll welcome in a Christian if you want to be a Mason, fine, but if you're not a Christian, if you don't believe in Christ, you still are a Mason, you still receive the same teachings about God, the same teachings about eternal life, and the same teachings about resurrection. Well, that on its face tells you that Masonry denies the exclusive claims of Jesus Christ in the Catholic religion. You can't have both. You either have to be a Catholic who views Christ as the Savior, or a Mason who does not. And that's where the Church has come out on Freemasonry.
Mm. Oddly enough, John, because you began to have, and I guess, too, we're all human, and we'd like to think that we're well-respected, and so I'm sure it was a great honor in the natural sense for you to be raised so quickly, probably faster than anybody else, to... you know, to such a degree that you even received the, the proficiency card. However, all throughout that time, there was still something not just right within you. And you began to turn to Our Lady and began to pray the rosary while you were a Freemason. And how did she speak to your heart?
Well, by God's grace, I've always had a devotion to Our Lady, and it's funny, even though at this time I wasn't frequenting the sacraments like I should have,
right.
I was saying Hail Marys. I was very close to Our Lady throughout my life as a cradle Catholic, and as I turned to the rosary, I really begged her for her intercession to show me the way to her Son and the way to truth. I think I knew what the answer was, but I was waiting for God really to convict me of it, and that she certainly did that. And I can tell you, reflecting upon this, I can't believe it's now 10, 12 years ago, but
right.
Before every lodge meeting, before every ritual, I prayed to Our Lord and Our Lady right before,
wow.
To say, Lord, may this be pleasing to you. Well, I obviously had doubts that it was,
right.
And so I said those prayers, and I remained close to Our Lord and Our Lady through this, and that's why I was able to respond to the grace. I kept an open mind and an open heart, and that's how God could work through me.
And, to your credit, sometimes the Lord allows us to be involved in certain things to find out the truth. And the absolute and complete truth, so that we can then go and teach others. As you said, you were an expert. They declared you one themselves. And many times, God works in those strange ways. Finally, enlighten your mind to the absolute truth that it is contrary to your Catholicism. You were able to step out, because once that was confirmed in you, you wanted no parts of it. I might be wrong here, but I'm almost positive that in John Paul II, even though we hadn't heard about it for years, didn't he himself, during his pontificate, issue the same decree that so many of the popes had in the past, condemning Freemasonry?
Yes, he most certainly did.
I told somebody that, and they said, no way.
Well, it's as clear as ever under his pontificate. Cardinal Ratzinger authored it. Pope John Paul II approved and promulgated the document. It's called the Declaration Against Masonic Associations. It was issued, I think, November 26, 1983. I have a full text of it in my book, Why Catholics Cannot Be Masons. And the declaration declares simply that the Church is affirming what the Church has always taught, that Catholics cannot join Freemasonry. And then the document goes on to say, and this is very important, that any Catholic who enrolls in Freemasonry is in a state of grave sin and may not receive Holy Communion.
Wow.
So the Church went beyond what, John Paul II's predecessor said. They were very clear, but they didn't address the Holy Communion issue. That was a given, right?
Right.
But the Pope felt the need in, today's society to say, because it's a mortal sin, you can't receive Holy Communion. Well, the reason why you can't receive Holy Communion is because it's a mortal sin, objectively speaking. And so that's how serious this is. A man who knowingly joins Freemasonry severs himself, really, from the body of Christ, because it is a sin against the faith. If he willfully embraces the teachings of Freemasonry, he's sinning against the faith. If he's ignorant, of course, that's another thing. But nobody wants to let our Catholic brothers live in ignorance, and that's why we're trying to educate them about this. Okay, God's the judge of the hearts, but God has also called us to bear witness to his truth, and so we need to get the information out, and that's what I'm trying to do.
Well, praise God, because realizing and getting that truth out there once again and articulating that so clearly, I might add, you've done a beautiful gift of service to the church and, of course, to our Lord. I had just given a retreat in Jersey, and oddly enough, I was talking about there is a hell, and it's not just... you know, something that people say, oh, there really isn't a hell, and, you know, there really is a hell. And the church teaches very clearly that people that die in mortal sin, there is hell.
Yeah.
And do you cover that also in your book, John?
Oh, yes. The motivation for this, obviously, is to save souls.
Right.
Souls are in danger. I mean, that's very clearly scriptural. It's the teaching of the church. It was the teaching of Our Lady at Fatima. You know, she gave the three seers a vision of hell.
Right.
And she said that many people are going to hell because of, you know, things like Freemasonry. Our Lady warned about Freemasonry. And I have those private revelations. I explain those in my book. So, yes, there is a hell, and many souls are unfortunately going there. And that's why we need to gear up our apostolic efforts to get this truth out, because the Holy Ghost is ready to work in those souls, but we need to get the truth out to allow that to happen.
And is there, I mean, I guess they can get your books on Amazon.com, or do you have another site that...
Yes, I have a website. It's okay. Called ScriptureCatholic.com, ScriptureCatholic.com. They can get the book through that site. In fact, I'm about to put an online bookstore on the site, and I will personally sign copies of books, so that's going to be a good way to get the books as well.
Okay. I don't have one signed. I got all your books and don't have one signed. There's something wrong with this picture,
John.
We'll
take care of that. Okay. Yeah, we'll take care of that.
Oddly enough, as I always say, God has a beautiful sense of humor. From where you were to where you are today, you've become a recognized... apologist for the faith, for our Catholic faith, and because of that, I guess also the fact that the book on purgatory, which again is can be you know, purchased through your website, and I would also ask you if you could delve in a little bit about that in a couple minutes. We're going to take a break, and I would ask you if you'd be so kind to take some calls as we're discussing your books. And, you know, maybe there's somebody out there that wants a call today. Would that be fine with you, John, to open up the phone lines?
Oh, that's no problem. Sure.
Okay. So we have a well-known apologist with us today. Maybe you have a question on faith or morals or something that you have heard us discuss today in regards to Freemasonry. And again, the name of John Salza, and that's S-A-L-Z-A. It is Masonry Unmasked. And again, it's about an insider who reveals the secrets of the lodge. And his other book, Why Catholics Cannot Be Masons. And we just discussed some of those reasons. And then the book on purgatory, the Bible, the biblical basis for purgatory. And that seems like an extremely interesting topic for our next segment. So please give us a call at 610-527-2906. Again, 610-527-2906, or you can call toll-free anywhere else in the United States of 1-888-343-2484. And of course, you can always go online if you're just getting home from your work, and give us a you know, go in, turn on your computer, www.inhissign.com, because this is going out globally, and click on listen to live radio and join us in conversation today. I have with us our wonderful guest, extremely interesting, very articulate on Masonry. He was an insider himself for years, and he reveals the secrets of the lodge, and through grace, just having something as a Catholic in the Masons just not ring true to him. He constantly was pushing it down because he was involved, went up the ladder, and then always would say a prayer to Our Lady and Our Lord before each meeting. And he said that as he continued to do that, he began just to say the Hail Marys for the Rosary, and as usual, Our Lady revealed in a very special way him to her son Jesus, and Jesus, who is the way, the truth, and the life, set John free to begin to come out from the Masons, and then to write on that as an expert that he was, and continued to enlighten people's minds and hearts and understanding to the truth that to be a Mason for a Catholic is a mortal sin. And our own beloved John Paul II, I just had heard that years ago, and I asked John Salzer about it, and he said that's absolutely true. He did decree that. And then just recently it was even once again in stronger terms. So believe me, if you're considering it, if you're in it, and through a moment of grace God has you listening today, then praise God. Have ears to hear and a heart to receive the truth that John's talking about. And once again, we're blessed to have you, John, with us.
Thank you for having me.
And why don't you give that website out again so that they can just go right to there, get a signed copy, which is really nice, of your books.
Yes, the website is ScriptureCatholic.com, just how it sounds, ScriptureCatholic.com.
Okay. I have a caller on the line, so before we get into the book on purgatory, we're going to hear from Donald. So let's take his call.
Hello?
Hello, Donald.
Oh, yes, Kathleen.
How are you?
Good, how are you doing?
I'm good, thank you.
Good. I was just wondering that, are you familiar, Mr. Salsa, with Father Bing and his Order of the Alliance of the Two Hearts?
Yes, somewhat. I've seen Father Bing on EWTN.
He is bringing up this issue of Freemasonry a lot recently because his way to combat that, he feels, is to enthrone your home to the Alliance of the Two Hearts of Blessed Mother and Jesus, because that's when our Lord appeared to Our Lady of Fatima, to Sister Lucia. That he asked the Sister Lucia to promote the two hearts. And that's been Father Bing's message. And here in Delaware County, a lot of families are getting their homes enthroned, not just to the Sacred Heart of Jesus, but to the two hearts, to combat the evils of Freemasonry. And I just wanted to see what your thoughts on that were.
Yes, Donald, I wholeheartedly agree with that. We've done the same here. God has been using Our Lady throughout the centuries, really, as I think, in my opinion, the final means, the final messenger to have mankind repent of its sins before we receive the ultimate chastisement. You know, that's what Fatima was about. In the end, Our Lady says, her Immaculate Heart will triumph. Well, if God is saying that he's using the Immaculate Heart of Mary and devotion to her heart as the means by which he wants to convert souls to him, then we better consecrate ourselves to her Immaculate Heart. Personally, it is my practice every morning to recite the consecration to Our Lady's Immaculate Heart. I do it every morning. It's the first thing I do. I believe that all Catholics and all families should do that, in addition to praying the rosary and wearing the scapular. Our Lady is right now the most important means by which Jesus wills us to come to him. It's through her. And we're going to conquer evil, including Freemasonry, through the reign of her Immaculate Heart. So I wholeheartedly agree with you, Donald, and Father Bing.
Oh, thank you for your book, and I look forward to reading it. Thank you.
Okay, don't forget to go to that website now. Once again, ScriptureCatholic.com. There's a lot of good stuff on there.
Thank you.
God bless you, Donald.
God bless you. Bye.
Bye now. Well, once again, our lines are open. We're blessed to have John Salza with us, and he is not only a proficient author right now, but also he is a very well-known apologetics, and he'd like to answer any questions that you might have today. So give us a call, 2906, or again, you can call anywhere else in the United States, 1-888-343-2411. Okay. Elizabeth.
Yes.
How are you?
Since the church has condemned Masonry, I'm curious about why is it that every now and then, and not too long ago here in Delaware, I read an obituary where a Catholic was also a Mason, and they were being buried from the church, and I thought that was not right.
Well, you're right, Elizabeth. That's not right. In fact, it's prohibited by the church.
So
the popes have talked about this in their condemnations of Freemasonry. The problem is ignorance. And there really is no excuse for a priest not to know the teachings of the church, because this is one of the things that the church has taught about more than pretty much anything else in terms of condemnations. And so it's unfortunate that that's happened. It causes scandal, it causes confusion, but it is absolutely prohibited.
So I'm curious to know why it goes on. I mean, the Masons infiltrated Vatican II.
Well, I think that there are clerics who are Freemasons. I really do. I think Masons have entered into the church, whether they're formally members of Freemasonry or at least espouse the liberalism of Freemasonry. And we know that there are many priests, God love them, but there are many priests that do espouse very liberal ideologies. And we also have, unfortunately, disobedient priests who don't care what the church says about it. If a Catholic was a good parishioner, if he was a good contributor to the church, then, you know, the priest may decide, I'm going to bury him against the church's wishes. It's unfortunate, but it does happen. It's just the nature of sin and evil in our world. There are some people that are simply weak or choose to be disobedient. That's what happened in that case.
Sometimes I think it wouldn't hurt to write a letter to the bishop and let him know what you think about this. You know what I'm saying? Like on my own part?
Yeah, I certainly do. And if you have an Orthodox bishop, then I think that would be worth it. You may not like the response you're going to get from the bishop, though. It all depends on your particular situation, but it might be worth a try.
Thank you for your help.
Thank you, Elizabeth. God bless you. Great questions.
Bye-bye now.
Bye now. And we have another caller. Let's see, Jerry Rakin. Hold on a minute. Let's get you on the air. Hello, Jerry. Thank you for being patient.
Hi, Kathleen.
How are you?
I wanted to... The last caller mentioned that a lot of people don't know this, and I ran into a young man years ago in the 90s, and he was all enthusiastic. He was a Catholic, and he was all enthusiastic about being allowed into the Masons, and I mentioned to him that it was my understanding that it was not allowed for a Catholic to become a Mason, and he said, no, that's not true. Now, I know that John mentioned that Pope John Paul had condemned it, but
right.
Wasn't there a period of time when it was not officially condemned?
Good question.
Or maybe the knowledge of that condemnation wasn't there?
No, there was never a period of time that Freemasonry was not condemned. Once an error is condemned, that means that the error opposes universal salvific truths. So if an error is condemned once, it's condemned forever. Now, the problem that happened
that,
is...
But wasn't there a time when it was not... Well, I guess she
Well, let me explain what happened in canon law, because this may be what you're referring to. The errors of Masonry have always been condemned, but in the 1917 Code of Canon Law, there was an explicit excommunication for Masons. When the 1983 Code was finally promulgated, which replaced the 1917 Code,
right.
The section that dealt with this area did not mention Masons specifically, and it didn't mention excommunication. It only mentioned a penalty, an interdict, which, by the way, can have the same effects as an excommunication.
Okay.
And this is what happened. When they saw the 83 code fail to mention Masons, some people got the impression that the church had somehow changed its position. Well, Masons aren't mentioned. Maybe they're okay. But here was the problem. It's just the opposite. The church didn't mention Freemasons because it was trying to make the law broader. The particular provision says anyone who plots against the church is subject to canonical sanction, interdict, or a just penalty. And they didn't want to mention the Masons specifically because there are other groups other than the Masons who also plot against the church in terms of their ideology.
Right.
And so it was just the opposite of what people thought. And this, Jerry, was the one of the motivations for Pope John Paul II issuing his condemnation. When Cardinal Ratzinger said, you know, there was a change in canon law, there's a misunderstanding, and we're here to reaffirm the Church's teaching. So that issue has been settled by that condemnation.
So there was a time when it was just not understood that it was still condemned, I guess.
Correct.
That's a good way to say it, Jerry, yeah.
Well, you mentioned Fatima, and the fact that didn't the Masons blow up the little shrine at Al Jistrel?
I'm not sure if they did. I know there's been some sacrilege that has occurred in some of the Fatima shrines.
They
blew up the Masons may or may not be behind it. They certainly do not like the message of Fatima, but I can't verify.
And they also didn't they try and blow up the Our Lady of Guadalupe Tilma, where they. A Mason had set off a bomb. It bent the candlesticks and the altar, but didn't even touch the... So the Masons are not just ideologically against the Church, but they seem to be somewhat terroristic.
Outside of the United States, that's true. Certainly the Mexican Revolution, the Masons were responsible in murdering, you know, a Catholic president, many Catholics associated with that government. So that's right. Outside the U.S., they've been very militant in effectuating their ideology. In the U.S., not so much. But still, an ideology that subverts the Church's teaching, you know, is just as pernicious because it's taking souls to hell.
Are your books also sold? I think I had seen your book in one of the religious catalogs that I get, either Tan Books or Ligurian Press.
Yeah, they're all sold throughout pretty much most of the Catholic media. My main publishers are Our Sunday Visitor and Tan Books, which is also St. Benedict Press.
Right, right. Well, thank you very much, John.
Thank you, Jerry.
Good work.
God bless you.
Well, John, we only have about 8 minutes left, so I'm thrilled we had so many callers on the line calling, but we're going to have you back again. And I just want to just touch on a little bit of your book on purgatory.
Sure.
Before we go off the air, and maybe because we only have that 6 or 7 minutes, maybe you could tell our audience now what prompted you to write the book. And, of course, I know it's filled with all the biblical scriptures in regards to purification and to cleanse and to purify, and which is our great basis for, you know, the Catholic teaching of purgatory. But why don't you synopsisize it a little bit, and then we'll bring you back on to another book interview.
Sure. Well, we're all excited about the book because this really is the only book on purgatory from an exegetical perspective. There's nothing else out there like it, which gets into the scriptures, the original languages, and the fathers, which supports the teaching, the Church's teaching on purgatory. It's a very clearly biblical doctrine, and a doctrine that we can certainly understand by reason, the fact that we're sinners and we need purification. But this all came about, Kathleen, because of my, you know, journey through Masonry, where I decided that as I was studying the Catholic understanding and teaching on Freemasonry, I began studying the Church's teaching on the Scriptures as well as Protestant theology. So, as I've explained in the past, my journey through Freemasonry became a broader journey, not only to learn about Masonry, but about the truth of the Catholic faith. And as I became convicted of the truth of the faith, I not only wanted to communicate about Freemasonry, but also about the Church, the truth, and how we can support our understanding based on Scripture and tradition. So I started a biblical basis series with Our Sunday Visitor. I have one on the Catholic faith, the papacy, the Eucharist tradition, and this is a fifth book in that series on purgatory, which is aimed at both Catholics and Protestants. Catholics so that they understand where our faith is in Scripture, as well as Protestants who maybe don't think our faith is scripturally based, and when they get a hold of my books, I certainly can convince them to the contrary. So I'm sure our readers will be very interested in the subject of purgatory, especially as we now head into Lent and start exercising our penitential practices. Having a holy fear of purgatory is a good thing. And it's not only just about learning about purgatory, but also how to avoid purgatory. And that's how I conclude the book.
Beautiful. Well, John, you've been a delight. You just speak, in such a clear manner that if there's any questions that people had, you certainly cleared up and articulated the truth for our callers. And so I just want to tell our listeners once again to go to the website. Again, it's scripturecatholic.com. And we are, 100% believe in the work that John Salsa is doing, and we're blessed that he could be our guest today. And if you'd be so kind, I'm going to ask you if you close with a little prayer for all those who are listening today.
Yes, indeed. Would you like me to say a prayer?
Yes, please.
Yes. Remember, most gracious Virgin Mary, that never was it known that anyone who fled to thy protection, implored thy help, or sought thy intercession was left unaided. Inspired by this confidence, we fly into thee, O Virgin of Virgins, our Mother. To thee do we come, before thee we stand, sinful and sorrowful. O Mother of the Word Incarnate, despise not our petitions, but in thy mercy hear and answer us. Amen.
Amen. Well, I want to say God bless you, and God bless the work you're doing for the kingdom. And again, John Salsa, The Biblical Basis for Purgatory, his book As an Insider, written for Masonry Unmasked, answers all the questions and reveals the secrets of the lodge. And again, why Catholics cannot be Masons. And once again, John, look forward to having you back. And we'll go into more depth on your books again. And hey, I enjoyed you so much. I think I'm going to have you in for one of our events for apologetics, as well as to cover the topics of your books. So God bless you and the work you're doing, John.
Well, Kathleen, thank you very much. I enjoyed it, and God bless you and your work as well.
Thank you. Bye now.
Bye-bye.
Well, my brothers and sisters, this is what this ministry is about. And we're just going to close with our own prayer for all of us today. And we just want to thank God for the way that the truth comes across the airways through this ministry. It is through your love, through your generosity, through your prayers, and your generous support that enables us to speak and interview people who can bring the truths of the Catholic faith, clearly articulate them, so that we, all those who are listening and our family of listeners, can better understand the truth that can set us all free. You and I are called. We're called from our mother's womb. God knew everything we'd ever do and everything we'd ever say. He knew every place we'd ever go. He knew all the things that we'd get caught up in and be involved in. He knew there'd be things that would take us away from Him, things that would endanger our soul. And so today, hopefully, this program will give you a clear understanding of what our church teaches in regards to Masonry, in regards to purgatory. All of us, every one of us, have the opportunity to come and to receive grace and mercy through the heart of our Lord Jesus Christ, through the sacramental life of the church that He has left for each one of us. And because of that, we need to take advantage of those sacramental gifts that God has left with us. He never wanted to leave us orphaned. He never wanted to have us fend for ourselves, so He sent us His Spirit to be with us always. And because He lives in every tabernacle all over the world, because our bodies are temples of the Holy Spirit, He wants us to continue to be healed and delivered. He wants us to continue to grow into all that He calls us to be. So, Father God, we come to You in the name of Your Son, Jesus Christ, by the power of the Holy Spirit. We praise and thank You, Lord, that You died on the cross at Calvary for each of us. And through Your burial and Your resurrection, We know that you died for our sins and the sins of the whole world, past, present, and future. And so, Lord God, enlighten our minds and understanding to the truth of our one holy Catholic and Apostolic Church, that as baptized Christians, we know the truth that can set us free. And because of that, we have an obligation from our baptism, as every baptized Catholic has, to go out and to share the truths of the Church in accordance with the magisterium. Don't be afraid, my brothers and sisters, of anybody that could challenge you on the doctrines of the Church. Because remember, all the teachings were handed down verbally first, and then written down for all of us to read and know and grow in. So don't ever be afraid, because whatever the Church teaches, you can be sure that it lines up perfectly with Scripture. After all, it was the Catholic Church that gave the Bible, the written word, as well as the tradition, capital T, that came down through the apostles. And it is through the apostles, safeguarded by the Holy Spirit, that those truths remain with us today, 2,000 years plus later. So my brothers and sisters, go to the Sacrament of Reconciliation. If you find yourself caught up in the occult, or Freemasonry, or you're living in a way that is contrary to what you know God has called you to be and how to live out your Catholic faith, to profess it freely and clearly, then my brothers and sisters, now is the time. Come, experience God's infinite love and His mercy. We ask, Lord, that You forgive all of our sins. Through the Sacrament of Reconciliation, we pray that Your word would go forth, drawing others to the heart that has loved mankind so much that He laid down His life on a cross, that we might have life and have it to the full. Lord Jesus, I believe that there's somebody out there listening today who has fallen away from their faith, fallen away from the Church, actually left the Catholic Church. And I believe today You're calling them back. I believe today Your word is going out, convicting those who have fallen away, and in Your infinite love and mercy, calling them back to the fullness of truth. And so, Lord, we renounce anything that would stifle the Spirit of God at work in us. We ask, Lord Jesus, in Your name and through the name of our Mother Mary, that we would have the grace always and every day to know that we are children of the Most High God, and that because of You, through Your name and the shedding of Your blood, that we can be healed time and time again, that we can be delivered time and time again, through the sacrament of confession, and wash clean, personae Christi, through the priest, by You. We praise and thank You, Jesus, for the gift of our Church. We praise and thank You, Lord Jesus, that every single one of us are called to go out and evangelize and speak the truth that will set others free. We are Yours. My brothers and sisters, you're not alone. Remember, wherever you are, there's a Catholic Mass being said somewhere all over the world. No Catholic prays alone because of that. And so, come, enter more fully in the depth of Jesus' heart through the sacramental life of His Church. And may God bless you. And may you go forth, empowered by the Holy Spirit, to bring the gospel of life to everyone you meet. As I often say, you might be the only Bible somebody will read. May God bless you.